You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Third hour, now upon us. Third and final hour, and I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to this hour a lot because Eddie the Bombardier Miller and I, Eddie taking over for his customary third hour with me, we're going to be talking about a topic that we regularly visit here on the Political Cesspool. We're going to be talking about the apostate churches. This hour, we're armed with new information pertaining to the Southern Baptist. That would be the denomination to which yours truly and the Bombardier belong, and the Roman Catholic Church, which, you know, these are supposedly two of the most conservative branches of Christianity, Southern Baptist and traditional Catholics. And then here we have, you know, you just heard from a great conservative Catholic, Frank Borzilleri. Well, as they wrote in the Council of Conservative Citizens chat room, CFCC.org, it sounds like Frank ran afoul of the Holy Inquisition. In fact, the rack of the burning irons would have been better than the fate that Frank suffered. Well, anyway, we've got some new information. We're armed with it. So we're going to blast the apostate churches again tonight. And almost simultaneously offer a very passionate defense of Christianity, which is, of course, for the past two centuries, 2,000 years, rather, has been the faith of our fathers for the most part throughout Europe, and it has saved our people. It has saved Europe time and time again. But before we get into why our faith should be defended and why Western man should adhere to the teachings of Christ, we're going to give you some information that would probably, if you didn't know better, it'd send you in the wrong direction running. Here's what's going on now, Eddie, in our own Southern Baptist Convention, which, again, you got to understand, folks, what happens at the top end of any institution is not a direct correlation with those who sit in the pews. Just because you watch TV doesn't mean you agree with everything the news says. Just because you read a newspaper doesn't mean you agree with everything it says. You still read it sometimes. You know, just because you go to school doesn't mean you agree with everything that the administration believes in. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you believe and agree with everything that the leadership, you know, the leadership of the institutions, these institutions that have been weaponized against us, is oftentimes in stark contrast to the people who are parts of these institutions. Well, anyway, here's what's going on in the Southern Baptist Convention. You know, most of the churches, the big churches, at least the leadership of these denominations, long ago, Eddie, abandoned the gospel of Jesus Christ in favor of taking the path of least resistance. They'd rather have the accolades of the world than suffer a fate like Frank Borzilleri. It's much easier to preach the social gospel. And as Brad Griffin pointed out at Occidental Dissent, the Southern Baptist Convention is now in the business of peddling Americanism with a cross. And secular liberalism, secular humanism is the dominant culture of the West. And if you want to be respectable or relevant, you'd better give lip service to the liberal pieties and the prevailing winds. If you want to be praised by the mainstream media, you don't have any other option. So basically with the Southern Baptist Convention, they've come out this week with a great new mission, and that is to see that all of their churches are integrated and that, you know, fully integrated, which means, I guess, majority black. It doesn't mean integrated in that, you know, whoever comes in will be welcomed. I believe in that. I believe we're all equal in the eyes of the law, or should be rather, and certainly we're all equal in the eyes of God, but that doesn't mean that 100% of our outreach domestically and internationally should be to non-whites. I mean, you know, that's madness. It just is. I mean, if race doesn't exist as they claim, then how are they specifically targeting non-whites for all this outreach? Well, they obviously know that race exists, and that's how they choose the recipients of their benevolence. Well, now the great mission isn't to lead people to Christ. It is to make sure that the pews are sufficiently integrated. And I guess they're going to bus them in or offer them free goodies. But here's something coming up right here in Tennessee, Eddie, in Nashville, in March, just right down the road from where we sit tonight at the radio station. The Southern Baptist Convention is going to be holding a convention called The Gospel and Racial Reconciliation. So this is the mission of the Southern Baptist. I guess we should be more focused on doing good deeds for blacks and other assorted non-whites. Not that doing good deeds for anyone is wrong, but is this what Christianity is all about? Is just one more liberal charity?
Well, I'd like to say good afternoon to all the people out there in Political Cesspool. It's really great being here tonight. I love each and every one of y'all, and that's true. I'm a true Christian, and supposedly that the sign of being a Christian is that you love your fellow man. In fact, that's the second greatest commandment, the first being to love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. And the second, but likely is likened to the first, is to love thy neighbors you love thyself. Well, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. For these people in the Southern Baptist Convention going out and pandering to the blacks continually, and I can testify to that, you know, is showing preference to one race, be the black race and the so-called Hispanics. Well, then the opposite reaction to that is the white people, our race, are being hurt by that. We're being penalized for that. We're always supposed to be shucking out the money, running the soup kitchens, evangelizing all over the world. If you notice, it's always the Anglo-Saxon Germanic people, James, that go out and
evangelize. We talked about that.
That's right.
Before the show, we talked about, you know, these black churches don't get into the business of, you know, what can we do to go out and help white non-believers and exclusively white non-believers. They just don't. Nor frankly should they. You know, whoever comes to these churches, whoever's in the local community, that's who they should outreach to. Whoever's within closest proximity to their churches, that's who they should outreach to. That's not what these churches are doing. And that's certainly not what the Southern Baptists are doing. And for God's sake, you know, going out of your way to hire or to elect a black man to be the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, you know, just for show, just to show that, hey, yeah, we're Southerners, but we're not that kind of Southerners. We're not Southerners that actually think. You know, we're not bad guys. You know, please just, you know, listen, crucify our Lord and Savior. Hey, our Lord and Savior himself said that his disciples would be persecuted, but we don't want that fate. We don't really want to be Christ-like. We want to have it easy.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I'll give you another symptom, and then I'll tell you in the bombardiers what I think the reason this is all being done. We were talking on the earlier. Our church, my church in particular, I won't name it because I just love my pastor, and he's under the gun right now. He's also fighting political correctness in our church with a lot of the members. We've lost a lot of members and that are leaving our church. There's a big battle. Satan is in there. He's trying to do, just like James said, we're turning the gospel of the churches and we're jumping off of the gospel ship and getting down to the political correctness ship. Well, here's what's going on. This is what's going on, people. All the major churches, and me and Sam talked about this last week, they have been infiltrated. Not the basic pew setters like me and James and you that go to these, you know, podunk churches. I go to a podunk. James goes to a big church. But we're pretty much, you know, rock solid. But somehow, in every situation in America and all over the world, at the hierarchy, be it a labor union, be it the police chiefs, be it the mayors. And we'll get back to you right back on. I'm going to take up where we left off when we come back.
We're going to spend the whole hour talking about this. And listen, I know you've heard us talk about this before. It's a recurring theme here on the system. We got some new information tonight and hopefully something you haven't heard before as we continue to talk about a topic near and dear to our hearts and one that certainly we don't find to be at all contrary to our political beliefs. And certainly our racially sound beliefs. We'll be back. Good sense,
hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
And so what Eddie and I are lamenting is that, you know, like all of the other institutions, now even our own clergy, our seminaries are just churning out these politically correct imbeciles who are far more concerned with appeasing the false gods of cultural Marxism than worshiping the one true God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the Southern Baptist Conventions, even one of the most conservative branches, so-called, of Protestantism, is getting in on the act in a very big way. In 1995, Sam Francis wrote in a column that was surprisingly published by the Washington Times, he wrote that the contrition of the Southern Baptists for slavery and racism is a bit more than a politically fashionable gesture intended to massage race relations. It's a radical split from their own church traditions as well as from their determination to let the modern world go to hell by itself. Now that they've decided to join the parade toward that destination, we can expect them to adopt even more modern resolutions that will pave the road for them. And what Sam Francis was writing about there, Eddie, in 1995 was the fact that the Southern Baptist Convention had adopted a resolution claiming that racism, whatever that means, whatever the definition of that word is, and God only knows, is a sin. Well, it's certainly not in the Bible, but it's in the Southern Baptist Convention's doctrine, you know, as far as that goes, and slavery is a sin, and this, that, and the other. You know, I'd like to see a black church, you know, apologize for the slavery that blacks have inflicted on other races, you know, but that's not going to happen. But 20 years later, the Southern Baptists have only confirmed what Francis, his prediction was. And now they're calling on their congregations to further integrate so that they can help America be more amenable to multiculturalism. And all of this was spurred on, so says the SBC, Eddie, by Ferguson. They saw Ferguson, and here's what they said. Reverend Russell Moore, who leads the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, in the wake of Ferguson, Missouri, said that we need more multi-ethnic congregations in the wake of this unrest spurred by the killings in Ferguson. And so He laments that as, what was it, Michael King, that the false prophet, that degenerate, he said, you know, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is the most segregated time of the week. Well, there's a reason for that. And that is because, well, first of all, a lot of black churches, I'm not going to say all of them, but a lot of black churches are nothing more than just political action committees. I mean, why would a white want to go worship there, you know, and get that anti-white hatred? They can get that at their own churches now. They don't even have to go to the black neighborhoods to get it. But for the blacks that are serious and sincere in their worship of Jesus Christ, and there are some, and I appreciate them, and they can be my brothers in Christ, but I still don't want to worship with them because there's a difference in the culture of the worship. I like a more reserved. I like a piano. I like to sing out of a hymnal. I don't like rock and roll at church. I don't like having seizures in the pews like they do. I don't like all the hooping and hollering that they do. It's just different cultures. It's a different style of worship. That's why I don't like to go worship with them, and I don't want my churches to be transformed into that. But this is what the Southern Baptists are most concerned with, Eddie, and this is what their next convention is all about, the gospel and racial reconciliation. This is what they call a gospel demand, that we have fully integrated churches. And I don't know what the percentage is. Is it 50-50? Is it 60-40 black? I mean, at what point are we sufficiently integrated to facilitate personal relationships, they say, between Southern Baptists of different races? Now, here's the thing. You know, we had a great speech at our 10-year anniversary event by Nathaniel Strickland, who is the proprietor of faithandheritage.com, a great Christian website that brings into accord our faith and our politics. But, he talks about, and we were talking about this earlier, Eddie, if God wanted us to all be one biomass of humanity, why did he create distinctions between the races? Now, this was God's perfect creation. I believe in maintaining God's racial integrity as he designed it. And I believe in a separation as far as that goes. You know, but the Southern Baptists know better now.
Well, as Pappy always says, I want to know the big picture. I want to ask why it's going on. James, you mentioned Ferguson. Everybody, including Sam and myself, we know that Ferguson was contrived. It was a contrived happening. It was made up. And the people in charge of the Southern Baptist Convention know full well it was contrived. And it was set into action a long time ago, and they were just reacting to a preset plan. It's like a play. And why are they doing this, Jay? It's all what's happening is not catching us by surprise, the people that are Bible scholars. All this is talked about in the Bible, in the Revelation. What's going on here, these so-called liberals, these so-called religious bastards in the Southern Baptist Convention, they're bastardizing the Christian religion. They don't care. They give a hoot in hell about these blacks no more than anybody else does. And they, in fact, they care far less about them than political cesspool cares about them. We have actually fed poor black people down here in Midtown. I've done it all the time.
Your work for St. Jude. I mean, we really have hatred in our hearts for no people. If I have hatred in my heart for anyone, and I don't, but if I did, if I had to point to someone that I have great disdain for, it's our own people. I mean, I would certainly have more of a quarrel with white people than people of other races who are doing what comes natural and healthy to them, which is to advance their own group interests. You know,
and
it's
they
all
also,
people who don't have enough sense.
They also don't give a hoot in hell about the mass white genocide going on in South Africa right now. I mean, God only forbid, if we, my church I go to, the church that James go to, if we sent a lily white evangelical, administrator down there to check out, to try to talk to those people and to slaughter those whites. They don't give a hoot in hell about the white people there. Here's what's going on. This isn't just a situation going on here in Tennessee. This is global. It's biblical. It's spoken of. They're using the same old race baiting thing, situations to split the races, divide and conquer. They use the blacks against the whites. They use the Mexicans against the whites. They use the Orientals and the Arabs against the whites. What they're trying to do, and Father Malachi Martin, who was a Catholic, who left the Catholic Church because of this, he's dead now, surprise, surprise, spoke about it in his great book, Windswept House, and Hostage to the Devil. What's happening, they're trying to get in, first of all, a one-world religion. And they want to set up this new one-world religion. Once they get the one-world religion where everybody is worshiping the exact same way, there's not going to be any Catholics, no Mormons, no Baptists, no Presbyterians, no Methodists, nothing. We're all going to be one happy religion. Now, once the Antichrist, once they get this set up, Then they're going to do away with all religion spoken of in the Bible. And people, don't take my word for it. You may not believe in angels. You may not believe in devils. But they do. The Bilderbergers, the George Soroses of the world, James, they believe. They're acting upon this. They want. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to do away the last vestige, James, of Western civilization is here in the United States, the last defender, defender of it, and they're trying to attack us and destroy us. They want to do away with all of our moral principles. You know, you spoke about the holy matrimony. They want to do away with all that, form the one world religion, one world church, one world economy, one world and everything. Then they're going to bring their Antichrist in and usher in.
You see it now, even in the Catholics and the Southern Baptists. It's slowly and very slowly.
The great whore of Babylon, surely, is spoken of in Revelation.
Jesus Christ is being replaced, and the new God is tolerance and diversity. And as Keith says, diversity in everything except thought.
that's the big picture.
Well, and you see it with the older church, the Catholic Church. You know, this Catholic diocese. There was proscribed a priest last week for speaking at a Pegida rally. Now, you remember we had Mark Weber on a couple of weeks back. We were talking about this encouraging trend in Europe, somewhat encouraging. Pegida, where they were standing up against the Islamification. Now, a Christian standing against Islam, imagine that. I mean, that goes back about as far as the faith itself. But you can't do that according to the Catholic Church. And so the Catholic Church released a statement saying that the Catholic Church cannot and will not tolerate such behavior, and right-wing ideologies, xenophobia, and a conflict of religions have no faith.
Well, the Catholic Church needs to shut the heck up and take their crucifixes out of the church and get rid of their holy water and get a holy Quran in there. But that's what's coming.
Say that xenophobia and right-wing ideologies have no place in the Catholic Church. But apparently Islam and Judaism does. We got to take a break.
People, stop sending your tithes, just like I'm doing. Quit feeding this crap.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
So we were talking about this right before the break, but just a quick on the Catholics. So you got Pope Francis. He's back in the news for all the wrong reasons, as we wrote about at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week. He's boasting now that he's going to cross the Mexican border into the United States to stand in solidarity with the Hispanic illegal aliens. And so is this what Christianity is coming to, at least at the head table, you know, in the different denominations and in Catholicism? You know, they're more concerned about racism. I mean, what's racism? You know, you're proud if you don't hate yourself for being white or you're a racist. Well, I think that's what the modern day definition is. That's what I wrote in my book, and pretty much that is what it is. You know, they're more concerned with people having a concern or wanting to protect themselves from Islam. Well, that's, you know, you're an Islamophobe at that point. And, you know, but you know, when's the last time you heard the Southern Baptist or the Catholics address in a big way homosexuality? I mean, they retreat and retreat and retreat, and they only take the easy battles, the battles that the world has sanctioned. And they've cranked up tolerance to a level that's nauseating to everyone. And this is something that we posted again at our website. But here's the thing. You know, so this is the modern-day church. They want you to look them over, but they don't want to be overlooked. So this is what we get out of professing Christians now at the head table again, not your everyday congregant. But you don't hear about Jesus Christ, the cross, salvation, the grace of God, forgiveness, redemption, sin, or the Savior. But what you do hear is about acceptance and reconciliation. I mean, that's all the Southern Baptists can talk about right now.
And why, James? You know, because we have a satanic world right now controlled by Satanism. And why are they so easy on sodomy? Because that is the cut part of the new coming world religion. Sodom is sodomization of America, sodomization of the world. Why? You know what? I just wish I could be down the Mexican border and arrest that sucker when he comes across that border. I'd throw that sucker down that sand, put those cuffs on him, and kick him in the butt. I'd do a Rodney King on that cracker. I'm telling you right now, I would love to do that. But anyway, getting back to the nice old papa.
Here's what's going on right now.
Now, we talked about solutions. All right, here's what we got. We got straight out of the Bible, one world government coming right down the railroad tracks at 100 miles an hour. Here's what you do, people. You do what papa's going to do. You leave your church. I refuse to tithe another day, James. I will not send a tithe where one stinking penny goes to the Southern Baptist Convention. You know, they need, if like this, the Pope right here, we talked about Sodom on the Tiber. Sodom and Gomorrah on the Tiber, you know, the Vatican there, just like we have a Sodom on the Potomac here in the United States. It is the world Satanism. And I firmly believe, and listen, this is coming from somebody who used to go sit in a pew with the Catholic Church for 20 years, just trying to be a good guy. It's the church now. I know that the church, I can't tell which one it is. It could be Catholics, but the great church is the great whore of Babylon now. The great whore, mystery Babylon. He's fornicating with the leaders, with the kings of the world. It's all talked about, like me and Sam talked about this last week. I think it's in Ephesians, and I'll just kind of talk about it. It talks about we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spirit of evil in high places. You're seeing the spirit and evil in the highest places on earth, in the Vatican. There is no higher religious place in the face of the earth than the Vatican, than the most powerful church in the world, the richest. They got more money than the Federal Reserve. They control everything. And you're seeing, and I will say one more time, not to kick a dead horse, you're seeing this leader, this sodomite leader from Sodom on the Tiber, trying to force this one world Satan structure down upon us. That's exactly what it is. Stop paying your tithes. hound the crap out of your state representatives. Say, stop sending your money into the Federal Reserve. Stop paying the stinking taxes into the World Bank, into the Federal Reserve. Do it legally. Do it by nullification. Have the states nullify this crap. Quit feeding the monster with your money. Starve the federal government. Starve the Southern Baptist Convention. Starve the Catholic Church until bring them to their knees. If they want to bring this sodomy crap down on us, you let them starve them. Do not do it. And if without money, James, they can't do it. You stop sending your stinking tithes into the Southern Baptist Convention. Stop sending it to the Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church. They've all been sodomized. They've all been infiltrated. I'm telling you flat out.
Let them be what they are supposed to be. Or, as you said, don't send the tithes. And certainly our government should be what it should be. And there is a correlation there. But here's the thing.
Let me ask you one question, James. How much do you think these suckers, what do we think their salary at Southern Baptist Convention? They make probably as much as a stinking surgeon, man. I say let them go back to digging ditches until they bring to like, they're no more Christian than my beagle hound, man.
Well, if they are, they're not the kind of Christian that's ever going to pay a price, and they're not the kind of Christian that's ever going to lead a Christian awakening in this country, because they're never going to pay a price. I'll pin the nail on the head, and we'll get done bashing them long
read
enough.
Romans, Romans talks about all this.
But here's the thing. They're not the kind of Christian that's going to lead a Christian revival, because they're not the kind of Christian that would dare pay a price.
Oh, that'd be a hate crime. To lead a Christian revival, it would be a hate crime. Here's what I want to do, James, and I'll shut up after this. James, I want the political cesspool to get a straight pride, a Christian pride parade in the heart of Sodomania in Memphis, down in Cooper Young.
Well, not a single member of any church in this town would come to that.
Always parading out their pride,
death.
Their gay pride, their lesbian pride, their dog sex pride, whatever, you name it. Let's go down there. Let's get a pride. A parade. Let's invite your church and my church. Let's have a march, James.
And let me tell you why that'll never happen, because they don't want to pay a price. They don't want to be called a name. Christianity today is not transforming people. Rather, it is being transformed by the world. It's not raising the moral level of society. It is descending to society's level and congratulating itself that it scored a victory, because society is smilingly accepting the surrender of Christianity.
Amen.
Let me say this.
Because we've been corrupt. Society's corrupt. It's just like Sam said last week, it's a moral issue. It's not a political issue. It's moral. And the morals of this country, we have the morals of a boar hog, James.
Well, and if, unfortunately, this is applicable to our churches now. And Christ, we talked about this a moment ago, Christ warned that all of those who live godly will, not that they might, not that they could, but they will suffer persecution. And that if the world hated him,
amen,
they will certainly
amen
hate his servants. Now tell me, is there anything about the false gospel that we're hearing out of the Catholic Church and the Southern Baptist Convention that would suggest that type of reprisal, that they will be hated? No, they want to be accepted by the world. They want the world to accept them rather than trying to transform the world as is their great commission. Now, here it is.
Just like you said, James, they're not going to stick their little white neck out to defend Christianity. They're going to go along with the world.
That's right. I mean, this is it. And so their great commission now is not to spread the unadulterated truth of Jesus Christ to the world, because to do so might cause them a little discomfort. No, their message is to spread tolerance. Now, what is tolerance? Tolerance is a sin. It is a sin that believes in nothing. It cares for nothing. It seeks to know nothing. It interferes with nothing. It enjoys nothing. It hates nothing. It finds purpose in nothing. It lives for nothing and remains alive only because there's nothing for which it will die.
That's right. They have believe in nothing. Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
And as Hutton Gibson said on this show, Mel Gibson's father, tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society. When an immoral society has blatantly and proudly violated all the commandments, it insists upon one last virtue, and that is tolerance for its immorality. It will not tolerate condemnation of its perversions, because it creates a whole new world in which only the intolerant critic of intolerable evil is evil. Wrap your mind around that if you can, and if it was too much of a word bender for you, we've got it at thepoliticalcesspool.org this week.
It'd be hard to beat that.
Posted, intolerance is a virtue. But this is, unfortunately, and it's not to say that these people don't believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm just saying they've watered down the message. You know, I can't judge anybody. I'm not their judge and jury. Each person makes his own deal.
with Christ and chooses whether to accept or reject. Or, but, you know, these churches, though, I'm not going to say they're not Christian, but I'm just saying they've watered it down so much that it's impotent. It's impotent, and they're more concerned with fitting in with society.
I would have to disagree. I think we can tell if they are Christian or not. For instance, there is a litmus test. This is the absolute litmus test, that no one comes to the Father except through the Son. Every knee will bow. And, James, another thing, a pet peeve with us here in the South, political cesspool, James, hope I didn't talk over you too bad, son, is that, you know what? We have to almost worship the Jews. The people in our church, they'll lambast the Catholics because they got their Hail Marys and their holy water. I say, that's right. The Catholics got their Hail Marys. We got our holy Jew. Pray to the Jews. You know, the Jews can do no wrong. They do not. We actually have people, James, I'm sure in your church too, Southern Baptist, that actually believe. They'll tell you, like John Hagee, that if you're a Jew, you do not have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Jews do not need him. You know, Jesus be damned, according to them. If you're a Jew, son, you got it made. I tell you to go back to your King James Bible and you read that. You start off reading all the Gospels and then end up in Galatians, and now you'll see that's a lie from hell.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back with a positive word about the faith of our fathers and the religion that defended Europe and saved Europe time and time again, and why it can still be used today to help save our people and lead us to a reclamation of America's destiny. Stay tuned.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the final segment of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool for this evening. Listen, I want to say this now. We had an excellent speaker at our 10-year anniversary party, and I mentioned it a moment ago in passing, but Nathaniel Strickland gave the talk entitled Christianity and Race. It was a 40-minute presentation, and he talks about the intersection between Christianity and race. And in the presentation, he presents the historical Christian view on race and nation. It's essentially Christianity and Race 101. And he takes the scriptures themselves. So you say, well, you know, listen, I know, no, there's no way the things that y'all talk about on the show could it all be compatible with Christianity. Well, watch Nathaniel's 40-minute presentation and click over to his website, and you'll find all of the source information, all of the scriptures that he uses to justify his positions, and certainly that our beliefs were adhered to by the most prominent of Christians from the time of Christ all the way through until the last 50 years, all the way up until very recent times. There was no contradiction whatsoever. And certainly if you go through the Bible with regards to God's position on homosexuality and some of the passages and scriptures attributed to Christ with regards to you know, evil Jewish leadership, well, you know, you'll start finding some inroads here. But here's the thing, you know, has the head table, has the leadership of a lot of these denominations been subverted and perverted, just like the media, just like academia, just like entertainment, Hollywood? You know, certainly it has. Certainly it has. But we don't judge, and we mustn't judge Christianity based upon wimpish and weak-minded, politically correct apostates.
So we're going to jump in here for a second, son. The only time you ever hear these sodomites even speak about Christianity is when they try to brand us as being intolerant. How about all the other Christian virtues that they never mention? For instance, adultery, sodomy, you know, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not do murder. You never hear them agree with a Christian. You never hear them take a Christian to task on any of the sins or any of the deadly sins. They only try to use it as a judo, jujitsu on us to kind of face this satanic false Christian. If you want to see where the races came from, people, go back to Genesis. I wish I had my glasses. Go back to Genesis when Noah, after the great flood, Noah planted a vineyard. He drinketh of the grape of the fruit of the vine, which incidentally any Baptist will tell you it doesn't have alcohol in it. I don't know how they got drunk on it, but they did. But anyway. Ham, one of his sons, went in the tent and sodomized his dad. That's what happened. I'm telling you flat out. So when Noah came out of his drunken stupor, he realized what happened. He put a curse on Ham. The curse went through Cana, and it said that the sons of Cana will be servants in the tents of his brethren, will serve the brethren. That's where the races came from. That's the gospel according to Papaw. If you can prove me wrong, I'll say I'm wrong, but that's where they came from. Some people say it came from Cain. I don't think it was Cain, because it says specifically in the Bible, and James can back me up on this, so can Sam, so can all of you Christians out there, that the sons of Cana will be the servants in the tents of their brethren. But look, I'm going to tell you one more thing, just common sense. Look around. Do you really want your son and your daughters going to a school where the murder rate and the rape rate, where they're getting murder and rape in the schools, where the average IQ of the average black in this, I don't know why God made it that way, but he did. The average IQ of a black is such a level, and they cannot compete in a white school. Are some blacks smarter than some whites? Of course. But I'm talking about the bell curve. I'm talking about the main picture here. Blacks cannot compete. But I tell you what they can do. They can rape 30,000 white women a year. But do you want to send your kids to a substandard school where they're in danger of life every day? Use your common sense and quit worrying about when some sodomite is going to call you a non-Christian.
Well, and it's not just the world, of course. I mean, we're talking about even our own so-called Christian leaders now. You've got to differentiate between them and the word itself. But And of course, you know, you go back ancestrally and you go back throughout the history of Europe, you know, and a lot of people say, and I've said this before, and I have no problem working with non-believers on issues of political significance or political agreement. I wish that everybody would be like me in all things. I think everybody wishes that they would be like them in all things. But I'm mature enough, and our audience is, obviously, to agree with the things they agree with us on and support us as a whole. And there are some things that some listeners won't agree with on any given show. But the point is, I'll work with a non-believer on an issue of political agreement, and certainly I have more things in common with some non-believers than I do with some of the people that go to these churches. But here's the thing.
James, Jesus Christ works with non-believers. You're supposed to try to convert the non-believers. You're absolutely right.
Well,
certainly. And I'd like to point out one more thing. I know I'm cutting you off tonight. I apologize.
I really got to hurry and get through this, though.
I'm just going to say one more thing. You know what? All you people, the high school where my grandson went to, we have a high school with about 750 students in it. I bet you there's not 10% of those students come to church. You know why they're there? These Christians that are bashing you for being a Christian, they're there to keep their lily white kids away from the blacks. I'm sorry, James, I'll shut up.
Well, here it is. So, you know, you don't have to be a non-believer for me to work with you politically, and certainly I have some things in common with you. But for these people who say that, you know, we need to re-embrace neo-paganism, or we need to re-embrace, you know, the ancient faiths of Europe. I mean, that is such a farce, and it's so ridiculous. Number one, for all of them to say that Christianity is a weak religion, well, Christianity was strong enough to completely shatter the pagan faith. Odin bent the knee to Christ. So that's number one. And number two, listen, if it was good enough for Constantine and Charlemagne and Martel and Amen. Sobieski and all of these Christian warriors, you know, I agree. And I share your lamentations that there are a lot of weak Christians out there today that wouldn't fight to save their own family. They wouldn't fight to save their wife. They wouldn't fight to save their children. You know, turn the other cheek. You know, listen. That's not, you know, I'm a fighting Christian in the mold of Nathan Bedford Forrest and Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. But there is still so much good about the Christian faith. You know, yes, a lot of it's been perverted, but it's our duty to go in there and change it, not to abandon the faith of our fathers. And if, like, you talk about some of these heroes of our people, if it was good enough for them, listen, if it was good enough for my dad, if it was good enough for my grandfather, and it was, and I'm not as good as my father, and I'm not as good as my grandparents, but if it was good enough for them, I'm going to raise my children like that. I take my daughter and my son to church every single Sunday, and there's some things in the churches that I don't agree with, and we've certainly spent far more time this hour talking about that than the areas that are so good and the teachings. Listen, if everybody applied the teachings of Christ, this world would be a better place. That cannot be
absolutely
discounted. And you just look at homeschooling. Look at homeschooling. You know, homeschooling is almost an entirely Christian enterprise. You know, we talk about homeschooling. I went to a homeschooling conference earlier today to get curriculum for my daughter, who will be starting 5-year-old kindergarten this fall. And everybody there was just an upstanding, clean-cut, large white families. They were articulate. They were well-dressed. They were squared away. You know, this is the homeschooling community. The homeschooling is almost entirely Christian and almost entirely white.
And they're there because they know that the school systems, the government school systems, are satanic, that, James.
Well, that's right. Well, they know that. They know that. And see, and they know that.
They're coming out of Babylon.
And, you know, most Christians will be with us on certainly gun rights and a lot of other things. And listen, most Christians are even with us on the issues that we talk about. A big difference between the leadership and the congregations. Why do the congregations not do more about it? Why don't they retake the pulpits? Well, it costs them a little sweat. You know, our people don't want to fight for anything.
And somebody might call them racist, James.
Somebody might call them a racist, and if it doesn't pay and if it causes them a little consternation, they'd rather just hang their head and just, you know, go with the prevailing winds. And that's a problem that's not just in Christians, but in all white people across the spectrum and regardless of what issue we're talking about. But I just believe, though, that there wouldn't be a Europe if it hadn't have been for Christianity. You know, the pagans would have fallen tribe by tribe. We talked about a couple of weeks ago, Kara Mustafa would have marched through Europe if it hadn't have been for the defense of Vienna, which was a strong Christian center. The Muslims would have picked off the different tribes of Europe one by one, but because they decided to attack Vienna, which was important center of Christianity, all of the different squabbling white kingdoms came together under the banner of Christianity and defended Vienna and saved Europe. And that happened, of course, even earlier with Martel. And again, Christianity was the banner that united the Western man. Without that banner, we would have fallen. And I think, you know, it certainly could probably be said that we wouldn't be here today if it weren't for Christianity. So, you know, we owe it something because it's certainly given us a lot. And I'm not just talking about eternal salvation. I am talking about survival as a distinct racial group, the men of the West.
Christianity
to that, I do believe. You know, certainly on a spiritual level, but on a much more physical level as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, the litmus test of what James just said is look about and see what where the Christian nations are compared to the non-Christian nations.
Well, that's all the time we have for tonight.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
We can condemn Christianity. You know, we can talk bad about it, but if anybody else talks bad about it, I'm going to circle ranks. We'll talk bad about these churches. But we are men of the faith, and we believe in it. So we're going to take a break. We'll talk to you next week. Good night, everybody. God bless.